You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
The second period, Detroit with a 1-0 lead on Boston, even though the shots are 25-7 in favor of the Bruins. Also in the second, Caps up 4-1 on the Panthers. Sharks taking it to the Devils. It's 4-0. About 5 minutes left in the first period in St. Louis, already 3-0 for the Lightning. And the Predators already up 3-0 on the Blue Jackets. That's with about 7 minutes left in the first period, and it's 1-1 in the first between the Coyotes and the Wild. Of course, coming up tomorrow night at Rogers Place, the Oilers against the Penguins. You know, a lot of history between these two teams.
And around the goal, looks for Lemieux. Lemieux and McTavish whack one another, and more penalties coming up here. Carey Frazier, McTavish and Lemieux, and now they come after Lemieux as Buchberger puts a shot into him. And here's Samuelson in to try and grab Buchberger. Mario Lemieux and Craig McTavish whacking away at one another. Murphy's right in there in a hurry to try and get at Kelly Buchberger.
Well, McTavish is obviously just trying to try to get Lemieux off the ice. It's pretty obvious. He's been doing it right since the beginning of the game.
Oh, that's out of the archive from March 17th, 1992, as Craig McTavish joins us courtesy Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the Time Life, the lifetime warranty. Well, MacT, you know, my colleague Bob Stauffer says you got to protect the stars. I wonder what he would have said about you doing that to poor Mario.
Where do you find that stuff?
Oh, YouTube. There's yeah. Clips of you all over YouTube. It's incredible.
Really? Wow. But I remember one game when Dave Hunter and I were tasked with shutting down Mario's line at Northlands Coliseum. And after the second period, the Slats vacated the strategy because Mario had 7 points already. So he wasn't an easy guy to shut down. This guy was amazing. One other story about Mario is that I remember one time I was watching him and really wasn't interested at all in any offense myself. And the play went back up ice into Pittsburgh zone, and we're coming out of the Oilers zone. And Mario goes to me, go on the rush. I'm not going to check you. Go ahead. Go on the rush. Go get a goal. You know, and I'm going, I don't think so, Mario. But just amazing the way that guy thought and the way that he played the game. No. And the other thing I'll say about Mario is that when he came back after his lengthy absence, when he had Hodgkin's lymphoma, he came back, and we talk a lot about Leon shooting a lot from sharp angles, and they're measuring the degrees of the angle, 10 degrees, 18 degrees, 20 degrees. But when Mario came back, he would shoot everything at the net from any angle. And I mean, it works. It goes off things. It goes off the goalie. And I really see Leon has a few of Mario's tendencies too as well.
Okay, I want to circle back to that because I'm glad you brought that up. But I also want to continue the thought here of you checking Mario or the responsibilities you and other players might have had against stars in the National Hockey League. Were there some players? I mean, they're all human beings. There must have been some guys that you actually could get under their skin and maybe you could see them cracking a little bit, and maybe some other players where you felt like, well, I know I have to try, but they're like made out of stone. I'm not going to get them off their game. Or what's it like when you have to try to kind of pester a guy a little bit?
Really hard to get the stars off their game because they're getting pestered every game. And Gretz was the same way. He was subjected to a lot of heavy checking and verbal abuse, although he was pretty sharp-tongued himself. But the stars really, they're really hard to get off their game. And, you know, they play the game with at such a skill level, but such an intellectual level too as well, that it's really hard to drag them into that stuff. You mentioned guys like Jágr too. I mean, you just had to develop every one-on-one strategy is different depending on the player. And you learn that with experience over the years. Now, the one time I went to take a run at Jaromír Jágr, he was down in the corner, and I'm going, I'm going to take a run at this guy. And, took a run at him in our defensive zone, and it was like hitting a wall. He just spun off me and took the puck to the net and either scored or had a great chance. And I thought, I'm not going to do that again. The other guy that was tough to check was Yzerman. I mean, my same thought, I'm going to take a run at him in the corner, and took a run at him. And he was so agile and quick. He just spun away from me and had another great chance. So those guys you have to, treat differently just because of their skill set. They're so capable of, Jágr beating you with strength, and then Stevie Yzerman with agility and quick turns.
Well, I love how you tell that story about Jágr, because Brownie always says Jágr wanted to be double teamed. Like he used to tell, Brownie says he would say, like, just if you see a guy double teaming me, don't come to help me. Just get away from me and I'll get you the puck. Like he wanted the contact. He wanted to have two guys on him.
Yeah. And then he'd find somebody, obviously he's so strong, like amazingly strong. Lower center of gravity from a big guy. He'd protect the puck with his rear end really well. And then he was agile and skilled enough that he's going to exploit the manpower disadvantage.
All right. You mentioned how Mario came back. When he came back, he started shooting even more, and from a whole bunch of crazy angles, what might appear to be crazy angles. And sometimes you get it to go in off a goalie. You create a rebound. Leon does that. Can that mentality be instilled in an entire team? Are there some guys like you wouldn't want doing that because you want the grind and the puck possession continuing? Because from an Oilers standpoint, Craig, they're about 50-50 in shots for and against, but they usually have the advantage in zone time, but they tend to hang on to the puck and maybe look for a higher caliber of shot. Like would you try to instill that in your teams? Like just fire it. So like, don't be afraid. Even if you're out of the slot, just get it into the crease.
It's a pretty good tactic, but it also depends on the style of player. Like Yamamoto, for example, or Connor, or guys that are so good down low at shaking defenders, and especially smaller guys, you really have to have that escapability. Otherwise, you're not going to have any success, because they'll corner you, they'll trap you, they'll overpower you, and they'll knock you off the puck and they'll take the puck. So you have to use your agility and have escapability and not get cornered. And, Yamo does that pretty well. He's got really good agility, and he's got the ability to shake a defender and then possibly improve the angle that he'll have at the net, where, Leon's got, he's got plenty of capability from an escapability standpoint, but a lot of times it's more of a power game that he uses. And, it's a great tactic, because if you know that you're going to put pucks to the net, then you get, you get extra bodies there. And, that's where all the goals are scored, obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Craig Tavish joining us on Inside Sports. The Oilers news of the day is Cody Ceci goes into COVID protocol. They're down yet another defenseman. So, we just got something here. I got to update everybody, Craig. It is a 5-game suspension for biting for Brendan Lemieux. So there you go. I just got that from the NHL PR. 5-game suspension. I said to Kelly Rudy in the last half hour of the show, Rob Brown thought he should get 25 games for biting and another 10 games just for being an idiot. I don't know if the NHL has such a penalty. But it's 5 games for Brendan Lemieux.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. It sounds light to me in today's era in society that it seems pretty lenient. I'm somewhere in between Brownie's recommendation, the NHL's final recommendation. The NHL usually gets these things right. I'm thinking there's some mitigating circumstances surrounding it. It's pretty bad in today's society that you're Brady Tkachuk was really outspoken about it, and you can't disagree with anything that he said because of that. And it's easy to pile on a guy like Brendan Lemieux now because of that, but I mean, he's got a bit of a on ice history. I think it probably could have been more. I thought Todd McLellan handled his post game comments really well and really measured. I thought he had a great perspective on it. And then at the end, he said how important Brendan Lemieux was to the LA Kings. And that's true. And it's reckless of, Brendan to try and do that. And you could see it happening in the altercation at the bottom. You just how animated Brady was. And I mean, I think 5 is on the light side of what I think the consensus would be amongst journalists and players and so forth.
If you had a teammate or a player, whether when you were managing or coaching, that did something that like that, where you know that's dirty, you know it's over the line, it's not a hit from behind where maybe the guy turned and maybe he's going to get suspended or maybe he's not, how much of that would you try to address something with the player internally, knowing that he's probably going to get slapped pretty hard by the league as well? Do you need to still pull the guy aside and say, okay, like, here's how we're going to deal with this?
That depends on the individual. I think you put your team in a really bad position doing that. And for what purpose? It's a black mark against not only the player, but really it doesn't look good for the organization either. I think, it depends on the player. I mean, this obviously can't happen again. And, I've never heard Brendan Lemieux's explanation of why he did it or whether he's even admitting to have done it. The proof was pretty clear from what I saw that he did in fact bite him. But, I think 15, 20 years ago, you would have got 5 games, and the league's come a long way from those days. So I think the suspension's light.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Craig, I'll get back to the question I was going to ask you after the break about how the Oilers lineup is looking tomorrow. Craig McTavish joining us on Inside Sports for Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty. Right, tomorrow in this time slot, we got the face-off show. It starts at 6, game at 8 between the Oilers and the Penguins. Craig McTavish checking in tonight. Okay, so CeCe's out. You got another guy up from the farm, Markus Niemelainen on defense, about to make his NHL debut, or at least we do pretty strong possibility that he will tomorrow, Craig. We've seen them survive, with Broberg, with Russell playing more and more responsibility for some of the other guys. As another veteran goes down and another young guy comes up, what does the coaching staff have to do something a little different What do you expect tomorrow here with more changes on defense?
Well, on paper, it looks thin. But you don't play the game on paper. And thankfully, I thought, Broberg has played really well. And he stepped in seamlessly. He always had great physical skill. He had tons of range. I thought the knock against him when he was younger in his draft year, I saw him play at least once in Sweden. You know, it was he didn't quite have the game figured out, but who does at 17? But obviously the physical skill and now the mental skill is developed to the point where, I mean, he's just stepped in and looked fantastic. Lagesson, he's got an efficiency about him that is rare. I mean, the physical skills, the agility, and the skating are the average minus for sure. But the mental skills are really high on him. So he's able to process the position. So I think he'll be okay. And Marcus Niemelainen, I mean, just an amazing story for him. Drafted him quite a few years ago. You know, it really didn't develop quickly. Like, development seldom a straight line, as we've talked about before. But he really didn't develop much his first couple of years, to the point where we were thinking possibly that we weren't going to sign him at the time. And then he started to pop a little bit, and just really a testament to his perseverance and work ethic to put himself in this position. So I'm really super happy for him. He's a guy that's got great mobility too, as well. Like, he's got really good range. I mean, the offensive side of it, he can move the puck decently. He's probably not going to put up big offensive numbers down the road, but he's serviceable. And all these injuries, you know, with where the Oilers are right now, it presents a good opportunity for management and coaching staff to work with these guys and see what these guys are like. So if this happens down the road in a more dire situation, these guys are going to come up with more experience, more confidence. And so it can be a good, a very good scenario for the organization. But tall task tomorrow to come in against a team that's playing as well as Pittsburgh is right now. I mean, Pittsburgh struggled a bit last night. It's always difficult coming into Calgary when it's your first game in the West. The altitude, it's, you know, 1,000 or 1,200 feet higher than in Edmonton, and I always found it as a player really tough. And when I was playing in the East, to come into Calgary. So I expect them to be better tomorrow night. They had been playing really well. So it's going to be a tall order. They had some difficulty creating offense last night. Calgary was really good defensively, but the young D Corps are going to have their hands full, and they're going to have to, you know, count on some help from the forwards to be in maybe a better defensive positioning.
Craig, we're just into about the final 90 seconds here, but I got to ask you about Chris Russell and shot blocking. I mean, you did it when you played, then as a coach, it became more and more prevalent every year, I would say, during your coaching tenure with the Oilers, and now obviously almost everybody is expected to do it. Just thoughts on Chris Russell getting over 2,000 blocked shots.
He's a little cowboy. You know, he's a tough guy, and just really happy for him. Like, just a fantastic teammate and person, man. A few words from what I saw in my dealings with him, but speak softly and carry a big stick really applies to a guy like Chris Russell. And you could see how happy his teammates were from him. Just everything is seemingly going right, with the exception of the injuries on the back end right now. But the atmosphere there with the hockey team's got to be fantastic right now. And then that just adds another layer of positivity to the team. And everybody, you know, that guy lays it all on the line for the club. And, you know, it's a fitting tribute to him for sure.
Craig, I wish we had more time. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Of course, we'll do this again in a couple of weeks, and enjoy it tomorrow. That's going to be fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Tristan Jarry tomorrow. I mean, it's going to be amazing. That guy's been the first star in the last five games he's played. And, you know, former Oil King, he's going to be tough to beat tomorrow. Thanks, yeah, Reed.
Absolutely. See you, Craig. Craig McTavish for Avalon Foundation Repair, Western Canada's leading basement waterproofing company for over 50 years, home of the lifetime warranty.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.